Can you drink the cup that I will drink? This is what Jesus asks James and John after they want to be at his left and at his right. That is, they wanted to be his top two men, the second greatest in Jesus' kingdom. But what does Jesus mean when he asks that question? What cup is he referring to? He's referring to the cup of suffering. He means his upcoming passion, death, and resurrection. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked God the Father to let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. But we can also call this cup the cup of love, because Jesus suffered out of love for all of us. He went through his passion, death, and resurrection to reconcile us to God the Father. So it is this cup of suffering and love that Jesus asks them if they can drink it. Without really understanding what he was talking about, they said that they could. And Jesus tells them that they will. And in fact, they did. James was the first apostle to be martyred, though there were other disciples who were martyred before him. And John suffered greatly while he was sentenced to exile. But both had a saintly love for Jesus and others. Can you drink the cup that I will drink? This reminds me of Holy Communion, where we drink from the cup that is the chalice of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The apostles received Holy Communion at the Last Supper. And it's a celebration of the Last Supper that we have at every Mass. Since the cup is the cup of suffering and of love, we are also called to share in the passion, death, resurrection of Jesus and his love for others. This cup or this chalice, along with the Eucharist, is held up by the priest when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." This phrase comes from the Gospel of John, as well as from the book of Revelations. It's referring to Jesus as the Lamb. It also points to the suffering servant, because in Isaiah 53, where it talks about the suffering servant, it compares him to a lamb being prepared for slaughter. And we heard about the suffering servant in our first reading today. And how is it that we respond to this prompting of the priest? Well, I hope we respond with humility and with faith, as we echo the words of the Roman centurion from the Gospel of Luke. "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed." We should recognize that we too are unworthy to receive such a great gift, the gift of Jesus Christ in the most holy Eucharist. He gives himself to us out of love for us, but he also does it in order to be united with us. And although we are unworthy, we should do what we can to be well disposed to receive our Lord. And so, as we prepare, we should consider if there are any serious sins that we have not yet confessed. Because if we're aware of any serious sins, we should really go to the sacrament of confession before receiving Holy Communion. And if there's a serious situation or condition that is contrary to the moral teachings of the Church that a person finds themselves in, then they should speak to the pastor or another priest about that situation before coming forward for Holy Communion. We should also fast from food and drink for 1 hour before receiving our Lord in communion. And the idea behind this fasting is to help us to be better prepared or to be more aware of what it is we are about to do, that we are going to be united to our Lord. The exceptions to this fast are those who are elderly or those who are sick. Also, for the rest of us, we can have water and medicine without breaking the fast. Then all the faithful who wish to receive our Lord in Holy Communion come forward in a procession. We've had two processions already, the entrance procession with the liturgical ministers, as well as the procession with the gospel from the altar to the ambo. But in this procession, all the faithful have an opportunity to participate. And since it is a procession and not just simply walking like we would do in a parking lot, it calls for us to present ourselves to process in a reverent way. And as we approach the minister to receive Holy Communion, we should bow or have some other action of reverence. And the minister says, "The body of Christ." And we receive, we do not take, Holy Communion, because our Lord is a gift to be received, not someone to be taken. And we reply, "Amen," because amen means that we truly do believe. That we believe that it's Jesus Christ who is present in the Eucharist, even though it's veiled, it's hidden under the sign of bread and wine. And those who don't believe should not receive. But those who have difficulty believing yet still believe are welcome to receive. Receiving communion also means that the recipient believes in all of the teachings of the Church, and that the person receiving communion is a member of the Catholic Church. With these things in mind, it makes sense for us to have communion only available for those who are Catholic and are free from any serious sins. Those of other faiths who come to Mass, since they do not share the same beliefs that we have, they are not to receive Holy Communion, because it signifies and strengthens that union that we have through our common beliefs. At Ascension Parish, those who are not going to receive Holy Communion can still come forward if they would like and cross their arms over their chest with their hands resting on their opposite shoulders, signifying that they would like to receive a blessing or have a prayer. The other option for those who are not going to receive is that they can remain in the pews and pray in the pews. Now, the body of Christ can be received on the tongue or in the hand. And if you want to receive on the tongue, then after saying amen, open your mouth wide and stick out your tongue. It's probably the only situation in which it's okay to do that to a priest. If you wish to receive in your hands, then you would have one hand on top of the other to create a throne for our Lord to sit upon, and then to take the hand that's underneath and pick up our Lord and place him in the mouth for consumption. If the precious blood of Jesus is also to be received, then a sign of reverence should again be made before receiving our Lord under the species of his precious blood. And in this situation, both hands should be used to help avoid or prevent the possibility of spilling his blood. Jesus is fully present under both species. So whether you receive the body of Christ or the blood of Christ, you're receiving all of Christ. And this is why many people may choose to receive only one or the other and not necessarily both. And those who receive both are actually receiving all of Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, twice in one Mass. But we offer both as a greater sign of communion, though both are not needed to receive the fullness of Jesus Christ in Holy Communion. And after communion, we should make the sign of the cross as we return to our seats, attempting to avoid distraction and being focused on being present with the Lord. This is, in fact, the best time to pray, because there is no other time or situation where we can be as close to our Lord as when we have him actually within sight of us. Just as when a visitor comes to our house and enters under the roof of our house, we would greet that person, welcome them, and then spend time with them, so too should it be when Jesus enters under the roof of our mouths, that we should welcome him, that we should greet him, that we should spend time with him in prayer. Receiving Holy Communion can bear the following fruits in us: a greater union with Jesus Christ, spiritual nourishment for spiritual growth, strengthening Christian charity, removal of venial sins, provided that we are repented of them, strengthening our wills to avoid mortal sin, establishing and strengthening the Church, making it easier to see Jesus in others, and increasing our desire for Christian unity. The communion rite ends with the priest saying the prayer after communion, which is actually a lot like the collect. It's a gathering together of all of our individual prayers. And having been nourished with this spiritual food, we are strengthened to undergo the sufferings that may occur in our daily lives, and also be strengthened to love others as Jesus has loved us. Now that we have a greater understanding of Holy Communion, I would like you to consider what Jesus said. Can you drink from the cup that I will drink?